Welcome to the Friday edition of Political Rewind, coming to you as we always do from the Midtown Atlanta studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting. I'm Bill Nigut, and joining me, as he always does, is AJC political writer Jim Galloway. Jim, I'm glad you're here this
afternoon. Good afternoon. This is fun.
We're taking a sort of different approach today, as you know, Jim. You hear regularly on this show from political insiders, journalists, and some academics. They offer us great insights on what's happening politically. But as Election Day draws nearer, the fact is, it's your voice, you, the listener, the voter, who becomes increasingly important. So today, for the first time ever, we brought together a panel of voters. We're going to spend some time hearing what all of them have to say about how the race for president and a couple other races in Georgia are shaping up. You ready to do this, Mr. Galloway?
Oh, I'm ready. Let's go.
Let me introduce, if I can, the panel. And throughout the show, just so our listeners know, we'll remind people of who's talking at any given time, since this is radio, not TV. Barbara Robertson, you live in in Lawrenceville.
Yes.
You told us that you are essentially an undecided voter, but you were leaning Democratic. Is that right?
For the presidential election, yeah. I'm decided.
Okay, you're undecided.
I'm decided.
Oh, you are decided.
Oh, yes.
Okay. What do you do for a living?
I teach political science.
All right, good. Frank Goldman, you live in Decatur. How do you describe yourself as a voter?
Generally centrist, probably leaning more to the left in recent years.
Okay. And you're an attorney?
I am.
And sitting right next to you is John O'Neill. You're down in the Griffin, Clayton County area, right?
That's right.
And you're where are you heading on this race at this point?
At this point, presidential decided, sort of.
Okay.
The suspense is killing me here. Exactly.
Yeah, we'll get into that. Jose Perez, you're in Peachtree Corners.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in. You're retired, right?
I am.
And you tell us you're a Trump man, right?
I'm a Republican.
Oh, is there a difference?
To me, I'm a terrible politician. I'm more of a policy guy. And economics matters, and the debt that we have is tremendous. And I believe that the present economic plan that is being presented by the Democrats is not going to work.
Okay. We'll get to all that. Thank you. Tia Buckham White, you live up in the Vinings area.
Yes.
You're a consultant. You do diversity training and work for businesses, right?
Right. My company does diversity inclusion for leadership to help them understand how to be a little more inclusive and more self-aware.
I got you. You want to give us just a quick hint about direction you're leaning in this election?
I just think because of my background, I feel like I just have to make a certain decision, but I'm pretty decided on where I'm going.
Oh, okay.
For who I shall vote.
Oh, okay. Jim, here we go again.
Okay, more suspense.
More suspense.
We're bringing the suspense, gentlemen.
Brandon Stokes, you get the award for traveling furthest to be here. You live down in the Plains area, right?
Yes, I do. America's Cornelia area. Yes.
You told us as we came into the studio that you're now working in a part-time job doing some maintenance work.
Right.
Because you got laid off.
I did. I got laid off at this furniture manufacturer in Americus because they opened up a plant recently at the end of last year.
Yeah.
And opened it up in Juarez, Mexico. So they're cutting hours and laying off.
So you're in the job market.
Yeah.
You know, Jim, that's an interesting person. Brandon will be interesting to weave into the conversation as we talk about the candidates and how they promise to bring new jobs into the economy.
And where are you? Have you decided on a candidate yet?
Well, I pretty much got them decided. At first, I was Bernie a bust, but I can't be Bernie a bust because, I don't have
Bernie's
that luxury. Yeah, he's busted. But, I pretty much know where I'm going.
John Carlo, you live in, where in Metro Atlanta?
North on 75 in Moores Mill.
Are you in Fulton County, up in Cobb County?
Fulton County.
Okay.
City of Atlanta.
Okay. And you told Trevor, I think, you're sort of leaning Republican. Is that right?
No, I voted a Republican, but starting 2014 because of the pressures on the Republican party, I'm leaning more independent, so pretty much it all's a matter about the candidate.
Yeah.
What they bring to the table is not so much the party as a whole.
Okay, so we got some undecideds. We got others who say they're fairly firm. We'll find out as we talk just how firm some of you are. Jim, you got want to start us off?
Yeah, yeah. This is just a kind of a semi-biographical question, and let's move from left to right on the radio dial here. start with Brandon, and just what I'm looking from each of you is just give me one story of your life, professional, personal, doesn't matter to me. One story of your life that's really going to affect how you make your decision. In November or earlier, if you want to vote early. So let's, Brandon, let's...
A short story.
A short story is that my mom, when I was in middle school, she had two strokes, and we didn't have medical insurance at the time because we were a working-class family, couldn't really afford it. But that will kind of help, I guess, lead me the direction I'm going to vote this particular time, so...
Do you think Hillary Clinton, of course, has been an advocate of Obamacare?
Right.
Do you believe she's on the right track? And do you believe Obamacare has been a good solution to problems that people like you have been uninsured have?
Well, I feel like Obamacare is a start. I mean, you got to get the snowball rolling eventually. You know, there's probably going to be problems now, like right now in Sumter County, even if you have one of the lowest, more or less, incomes, it would still be very difficult to get insurance in that particular county. But right now I don't have insurance, so Hillary, probably that direction.
Jim, you got somebody you want to go to?
John Carlo, let's go down the line here. What's your story, and how will it help you make a decision?
I'm originally from El Salvador. So for me, international affairs are very important. So someone who is knowledgeable about what's going on and what the effects are of a decision are very important. So I think from that respect, I guess I'm leaning more Hillary. But as far as everything else during the election, it's just going to be about the individual. It's no longer party.
So we know that Hillary Clinton has vast experience as Secretary of State. Now, she's been criticized, certainly by the Trump campaign and by others, for some of the mistakes that she's accused of making in things, places like Libya and beyond. So do the mistakes outweigh her experience, or do you think her mistakes will shape in some ways you're thinking about whether she's the best foreign policy candidate?
She's experienced. I mean, everybody makes mistakes, good or bad. Well, we got into the Iraq War. We've been at it for 14 years. But again, nothing's perfect. I mean, she knows who the candidates are, who the main players are in the international arena. And to me, that makes a big difference.
Okay. You got a story for us, Barbara?
Yeah, a little bit of one. As I said earlier, born and raised in Savannah, very diverse setting, very diverse upbringing in terms of my schooling. And I was in a middle-class family, but as I went to college, went out on my own, I quickly dropped out of the middle class. And I was a recipient of, you know, government aid, you know, as a young college student with a child all through college. And so I know what it's like to struggle. And I also know what it's like to come out of that, and I feel like I'm giving back as a result of that. So I think that's really shaped my political views. Also a student of international affairs at University of Georgia, so I think that's affected, you know, my
and
viewpoints quite a bit.
That's led you to Hillary Clinton, it sounds like.
Yes.
Do you mind if I switch up the order for a minute, Jim?
Oh, well, then feel free, please.
John O'Neill, I'd love to get your take on this, your story and how it's led you to sort of thinking about a candidate.
Well, the biggest thing that I can think of to Jim's question is that growing up in Central Florida, my father, as well as several other generations, were in the citrus business. They were in farming, oranges specifically. And much like our other relatives in Georgia growing up, we're also in agriculture, very heavily dependent upon immigrant labor. people that would go out into the sun in 90-something degree weather, if not hotter, and do things that, quite frankly, no one else, at least in their right mind, would be willing to do, and to do it for really not a whole lot of money. As I've gotten older, I've appreciated that more in the environment that I was brought up in, working with those people and seeing my father work with them. And that idea has played very heavily into me moving in a direction of a candidate. I've been a Republican my entire life. When I lived in Florida, you registered as a Republican, and I've been a registered Republican. I've never voted for anybody but a Republican for president of the United States. But based upon everything that I've seen so far, now there's been some pivoting here in recent days, which is very interesting, and hopefully we'll touch on that at some point. But that's very much going to shape which way I vote.
So you haven't liked Trump's position up until this week about send everybody back?
Absolutely not.
Okay.
If I could just proceed just a little bit. Who are your first, second, and third choices?
As of right now, the first and only choice, I think, is Gary Johnson.
The Libertarian. Mm-hmm.
Libertarian
for
president.
But on the Republican side, I mean, were you a Bush supporter? Were you a Marco Rubio supporter?
Yes, I voted for George Bush twice.
Jeb Bush.
I voted for Marco Rubio when he got here in this particular election. Mm-hmm. That was because Jeb Bush had already dropped out, even though he was still on the ballot. Part of that might have been a Florida bias, but also because he is a common sense Republican who actually had a plan for a common sense immigration reform until it was killed, ironically enough, by members of our own party. However, that's who I voted for, and that would have been my choice, and who I would have campaigned for vigorously had he been able to pull off the Republican the Republican nomination.
Okay, Jose, what's your story, and how is it leading you to make a decision?
With all the gray hair, my story is a long one. So, exactly. It began in Cuba. So I'm Cuban born, and came to the States when I was 12. So I would say that was a major coloring of what I think is right for the people or not.
What year?
59. At the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
So I saw a country that you see today in the. With all the high rises and everything you see on the horizon when the boats get there, et cetera. Well, that was all there. Nothing else has been added, and that's what socialism has been to Cuba. And I'm going to do everything I can to keep this country from being socialist.
Is Hillary Clinton going to make it socialist?
Like some of the others that were commenting about the pivoting, et cetera, she's pivoting more to the right now, but she became left of Bernie, for goodness sakes, forgive me, but the Democratic Party was demonstrating that it's highly socialist.
Okay.
He was declared and certainly after it, and it scares me.
Frank?
Prior to becoming an attorney, I was a missile launch officer for nuclear missiles at F.E. Warren Air Force Base in Cheyenne, Wyoming. I had the codes, yes, sir. And to me, the most important thing is who's the most stable candidate with respect to national security issues, or who is going to be able to understand when a crisis is occurring and what is necessary to respond to that crisis. While I have issues with Secretary of State Clinton, and I think that she's been disingenuous at times with respect to her experiences, I just can't imagine sitting in a bunker in Cheyenne, Wyoming, waiting for the launch code to come from Donald Trump. It just scares me for myself and for my family.
So have you all seen, it's pretty hard to not see it, Hillary Clinton's commercial about that very issue?
Yeah.
All of the clips of Trump that the Clinton campaign says show that he's not particularly stable in their opinion. And what is it? The last line is it only takes a moment, or it right. just takes mm-hmm. a moment. What do y'all think?
We're missing one person here.
That's I okay. apologize.
One more story.
Hold that question.
One more
and then
story.
I'm sorry, Tia.
No worries. My story, probably, as I mentioned earlier, I'm from the state of Mississippi. I'm descendant of people that are from the state of Mississippi, and I can go pretty far back generationally to that end. And I'll let you fill that in for yourselves. But actually, my mother was very involved. She was a single parent for part of my young life, and very dynamic, very strong family relationships. But she's a social worker, and she worked for the Democratic, you know, party, and she was a secretary, and we were in the back of the room playing with our toys while she was doing her thing in the state of Mississippi in our area. So that does play a role in my engagement in politics and interest in politics. So I'm a little bit more balanced in the way I see things, not as yellow dog, as she would say, as I was raised to be. But I do think, you know, I agree with some of the things that were said earlier. We have to think about the safety of our country and not just the personality. And we need to make sure that is the values that we're pushing forth.
Jim, am I hearing underneath that, Hillary is probably your choice, but am I hearing underneath that you're not totally satisfied with her as a candidate?
Don't do it to me, Bill. Don't do it to
no,
me.
No, it's important.
Families listening to this. No, okay. Seriously. you're going to make me, you know. But I will say that, you know, just as a woman, I struggle because I think Hillary Clinton really is the most qualified person. If you check the boxes, let's not look at gender. Just put her behind the curtain like they do symphonies, right? And we're not going to just look at all of her actual experience for leading at a national level and being in the room when major decisions for our countries are being made.
Where's
our country's
the butt
being made.
There? Yeah.
It's just sometimes I just think that sometimes she's in the room with her team saying, guys, why are we talking about this? You know what I mean? Like, I think she's so serious.
The lawyer in her comes out.
Yeah, like, I think that she has to do all this pandering and being a certain way that frustrates her. That's what I see. And I don't know if that really reads as well to a general groups, general population sometimes.
So. Brandon, you want to jump in?
Well, on the Hillary aspect, I mean, I'm a millennial, so I think about it as in terms of history. I feel like, you know, she's been in this game that's been male-dominated for a long time, and we're just hoping that she doesn't come up with the fleas that we expect her to have whenever she finally rises above this misogyny. But the issue is that, I mean, I feel like because she's a woman, and I don't want to say that because she's a woman she'll be great, but because she's a woman, I mean, we're going to run her through the ringer, and she has no choice but to be.
How much does the fact that Hillary Clinton is a female candidate and the first female candidate of a major party factor into your thinking about her as president? Anybody want to jump in on that?
Honestly, not at all. I think I don't want to say we're past that. I just think that this particular candidate does have all the boxes checked off. So in that respect, we've known her since the early 90s. The fact that she used to be the First Lady of the United States and became a senator and then Secretary of State, she's been part of a large chunk of my adult life. I don't think with respect to this particular candidate, gender matters at
okay.
all.
I was interested, Jim, as I asked that, I looked around it and everybody kind of shrugged, no, it doesn't matter. But I think in some cases it really does.
And I'd like to add that I think it does inform our choices. It has to on some level. It's almost like being colorblind, you know what I mean? You have to see that she is female and the things that she has to process and deal with is just going to be different. Her perspective in the world is different. So it shouldn't be a limiter, you know, and I don't see it as that, but I do think it does. She's a mother, not a father. You know what I mean? She's had to do different things in her life. Experiences have played a role in how
okay.
she's going to lead.
Jim, you got to throw something out here?
Well, I'd like to kind of, if we can, shift the topic over to Mr. Trump. We haven't talked to him, about him quite a bit. And
the only one. So. go ahead, shoot.
So, I'm just going. My question to all of you, and whoever wants to jump up here, is what is the image of Donald Trump that has affected you most, good or bad?
A great question. Let me do this. Let's give everybody a chance to think about that for a minute. We have to get a break in. So what I'd really love to do is just give you a chance, and we got to get a couple breaks in during this show. So just want to remind everybody that this is a special edition of Political Rewind. We have a wonderful group of voters, real voters for a change, on this show, and you're all sharing your feelings with us. So let's do this. Let's take a break on this Friday afternoon, and when we come back, we'll give you all a chance to talk about Jim's question. What do you think about this guy, Donald Trump, and how is he influencing your feelings about this race? This is Political Rewind. We'll be back in just a minute.
Hey, it's Peter Sagal. Resolve to lose a few pounds this year? How about a few thousand? Donate your old car, truck, or RV. Drop a lot of unwanted weight from your garage and support public radio.
Go to gpb.org/cars or call 877-GPB-1-CAR and thanks.
Break it down.
You're listening to Political Rewind on Georgia Public Broadcasting and 18-station radio network. Good afternoon. GPB Atlanta is licensed to Georgia State University, ranked among the top universities in the nation in commitment to undergraduate teaching.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. It's Friday afternoon edition of the show, and we're talking to our panel of voters. Jim Galloway, of course, joins me. You read his column every Thursday and Sunday in the Dead Tree edition of the AJC, and he also oversees the AJC Political Insider blog at AJC.com. Jim, you asked a question as we went to break about Trump. How would you like to frame that?
The first 20 minutes, we talked a good bit about Hillary Clinton. I'd like to switch the topic a little bit. I want to know what you folks have seen about Trump that really has made up your mind. What's the image of Donald Trump, whether it's from the convention in Cleveland, this speech here, that speech there. And if we could begin with Mr. O'Neill, who is a staid lawyer from Griffin, but he's just got these kicking socks that he's wearing.
And he's a Republican.
Well, as far as the images, it's not one. It's more of just of what has been said. And when I contrast the things that he has been said, I am a Reaganite, I suppose. He is the first president I remember as a child growing up, and I firmly subscribe to the gospel of Ronald Reagan, for lack of a better term. And the things that Trump has said, many of them are so anti-Reagan. It's to the point to where his policy positions, if he is the head of the Republican Party, I'm not entirely sure what it means to be a Republican anymore. And that scares me as someone who's been a Republican their entire life. But the two biggest things are, three, immigration platform, his stances on free trade, which scare me, legitimately scare me, as well as his at least – someone on the show a couple of weeks ago, I believe it was Brian Robinson, I think is his name, former chief of staff, referred to it as his shtick. I don't know if that's a good quality or not, or a good quantifier or not, but he at least presents this image of not being very knowledgeable about how the world works, and as far as not just in business, but how globally things work.
So, Jose, as a Trump supporter, when you hear what John has to say, what are your thoughts? What do you say back to him?
Yeah, bring him back into the fold here.
Yeah, he's a Republican. Win him back over.
You know, to me, it's like everything else. Nothing is perfect. Neither one of the candidates are perfect. Perfection is a figment of our imagination when we're chasing candidates. Unfortunately, we have two very imperfect candidates. So I struggle, well, we have three for some of you that are thinking, but I think that one is even more imperfect. He just hadn't had the exposure in TV like the other two that have brought everything to the front. Once the TV gets him, if he gets to 15%, you would then realign that. From the Republican standpoint, I recognize that because we had 17 candidates and many of the things that were said to each other, I remember my brother calling me and laughing. Who is this Trump guy? What the hell is he doing up there? Sorry about the hell. And I laughed about it. I said, the man is crazy. But when you think about it, he is a man who's never been a politician. I don't know how many of you have been around construction. It sounds like you, Brandon, have been a great deal about construction. What do construction supervisors look at? They don't speak nicely to anybody. it is mostly kicking butt and and taking names. And I think that's what the image that he presented. I said, I have worked.
You think it's time we need that kind of president?
Well, I'm not sure we need that, but it is who he is. This is the experience, and he's not a politician. If you excuse me one second, my conclusion has been that through time we've been accustomed to great orators, people that talk a lot and do very little. And I'm tired of that, and I think we need a lot done in terms of policy. And again, I'm not a good politician. If you ask me a question, I'm going to answer it.
Frank, you're eager to get in here.
Well, you know, I look at our panel, and it's great, but I don't think Trump actually is appealing to the folks who are represented on this panel. I grew up in Dayton, Ohio, which was a working-class town with GM plants, and it's where NCR was. There were, my grandfather was a foreman on the GM line. He may very well have been a Trump supporter because he was part of the manufacturing class, a white male who would find Trump's appeal to as anti-immigrant and anti-free trade in this environment, he would find that he would find support in that, or he would support that. My concern is that I think some of those concerns are very justified. I think we've treated manufacturing workers in this country pretty shabbily the last few years. I just don't know if Donald Trump, with all his background as a mogul in whatever industry he has been a mogul in, particularly the promotion of Donald Trump, I think, is the right guy to lead that charge.
Brandon, Jim, did you want to get somebody in?
Just a question for Barbara, just on your vision of Trump. When he says that Hillary Clinton lacks the physical and mental stamina to do the job, what's the we've only got two women on the panel here, so have at it. What is that?
I'm not offended by that as a woman, because he did that to all his opponents. Low energy, you know. I think a lot of us have known a person like Trump in our lives at some point, who will say anything, who is a compulsive liar by their nature, and they lie when it's not even necessary to lie. And can I respond to what they said?
Sure.
Very quickly?
Please.
I guess you're not a politician until you're a politician, and I think he's definitely a politician now. I mean, I think he's joined those ranks, you know. And I also would, you referenced construction foreman, right? Thank you so much. Construction foreman. I want to say probably a construction company does not pluck a construction foreman right off the street with absolutely no experience in building homes or factories or anything.
All right. I want to do a real focus group kind of question here, okay? I'd like to go around. We'll start with you, Brandon. And I don't mean to surprise you with this, but I say Donald Trump. What's the word that comes to mind when you think about Donald Trump?
Fraud.
Giancarlo?
Bully.
Barbara?
Those and inexperienced.
Frank?
Megalomaniac?
Jose?
Getting it done.
That's three words, but we'll let you have it. Tia?
Completely unself-aware.
Okay.
That's a good point.
All right. John?
Unqualified.
Okay. Now, let's do it again. When I say Hillary Clinton, what word comes to your mind, Jose?
Corruption.
You're struggling with this.
Rigid.
What was the word?
Rigid.
Rigid. Is that good or bad?
Neutral. I think it could be good and bad, actually.
John?
Only one word?
Yeah.
Okay,
a couple.
Unfit.
Go ahead.
Unfit.
Ah, Frank?
Disingenuous.
And you're a Clinton supporter.
I am a supporter of Hillary Clinton, not because I think she'll be the greatest president of the United States, but because I'm faced with a choice that I'm not thrilled by.
Jim, we need to plumb the depths of that in a minute. Brandon, right. One word for Hillary or a couple words?
Scripted and boring.
Ooh.
John Experienced.
Carver? Knowledgeable.
Wow. What?
Change my answer to Frank's.
That was also
true. Huh? Can I change my answer to Frank's?
Can I add some depth to my rigid?
So let's talk about Hillary Clinton for a minute, because Jim, it's fascinating.
This is tremendous. We've got seven people on the panel. Six are saying they support Hillary.
Or sort of
are leaning toward it. We've got one Donald Trump supporter, and yet we've run into. What, four Hillary supporters who have questions.
Yeah.
My Republican parents or grandparents in Florida, I did not say I was supporting
yeah.
Hillary.
Hey, by the way, we should say, and Trevor Young, our producer, can tell you, we took in a lot of people's phone calls, and I don't think everybody on the calls wanted Hillary Clinton necessarily, and we do have people who think Donald Trump's a pretty interesting candidate. But it is also true, it was hard to get people to say flat out, yeah, we are going to vote for Donald Trump.
And I think that may be showing up in the polling. I think there are people.
Oh, you're kind of a subscriber to the secret Trump supporter.
I think there might be a percent or two. Sure.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's go to this. Barbara, let's talk about this Clinton ambivalence here. Is she your choice because the option of Donald Trump is unacceptable?
No, I don't believe so. I mean, I think that she has flaws. I think that every candidate that runs for office has flaws. I don't expect a candidate to be perfect. I do think that people are a little too hard on her. I think, honestly, if we were not dealing with Trump, I would give both candidates the benefit of the doubt. The Republican candidate, the Democratic candidate, and I think we should do that more. I think sometimes we are a little too hard on our candidates and our politicians. I like to view them as statesmen when they behave as though. So I think we're a little too hard on them and on her.
Giancarlo, how has her handling of her email situation had an impact on you? Are we in the media overplaying that, or is that a significant issue, and if it is, why?
There's a lot of secrecy regarding the handling of the emails. I don't agree with what she did, how she handled it. And honestly, yes, that has played at first during the primaries. I mean, it was something that had me going back and forth. But again, for me, it has been influencing the Republican Party is what has pushed me more towards Hillary, and I'm overlooking that part of it.
Okay.
Libertarians. Is there anybody who is attracted at all to Gary Johnson?
Well, John is.
John is? Okay.
Yeah. Yes, I am.
And why I mean, is it a place? Is it a vote that you would give simply because you don't want to cast a vote ballot for the other two, or would you actually not mind seeing this guy president?
Well, I think it's a combination of the two. The biggest reason is because I cannot, as of right now, say I would vote for either one for various reasons, many of which we've already talked about here. By either one, I mean Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. For Gary Johnson, what I look at Gary Johnson, is he a flawed candidate? You see him on screen sometime. He doesn't really present that well. I mean, honestly, I think probably the vice presidential candidate Weld is much more polished. But when you actually sit down and listen to what they talk about things such as free trade. Now, they may not be all on board the Trans-Pacific trade agreement, but they said that they want to look at it first. They talk about free trade. They talk about immigration, providing paths to where people can actually come in here and work, people who want to work, not criminals, not rapists, or whatever else they've been accused of, but people who actually want to work, which, again, people in my family very much need. You talk about foreign policy. You talk about not getting into wars that we don't need to be getting into. They're not isolationists to the extreme that some other libertarians are, but that they recognize that part of foreign policy is not when knowing to pull the trigger, to Frank's point, but knowing when not to pull the trigger or to enter the code. And I think that that's something that's very responsible. It's one of those things where I would say that they were both governors, Republican governors for that matter. And I think John Carlos said it before, they've just had to get away from the Republican Party because they've been pushed out. They've been pushed out.
So, you know, by the way, Brandon, I want to go to you on this. John mentioned trade. Here you are in the job market right now. Correct. Donald Trump says that he is going to end our trade agreements. He says he's going to nullify NAFTA, and he certainly will cancel TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, because he says that will bring jobs back to this country. Are you persuaded at all that one candidate over the other is a better policy in terms of bringing jobs?
Bernie did talk about this.
Yeah, Bernie did talk about this. Well, the presidency falls in the second article of the Constitution, and most of the rules of the game are made by Congress. So it's really an issue of if Congress decides if they don't want corporate inversions or the jobs to go
overseas.
But
the president certainly has a major influence.
Yeah, he's the mouthpiece of the people,
more or less.
All right,
but so whose idea of trade? You know, Hillary Clinton now says she doesn't support TPP either. But what do you think about free trade? Has free trade been responsible for your having a hard time finding work right now?
To be honest with you, there's a possibility, but I mean, I'm pretty blue collar, so I'm from a rural area, so the issue is that there's just not enough opportunities in rural areas to make a difference. I mean, you either have a prison, you have a nursing community, a nursing home community, or a college campus, and those are the three forms of revenue for the county or city.
Barbara, where do you stand on trade? And when Hillary Clinton kind of got pulled to the left by Bernie Sanders on saying she doesn't support TPP, were you disturbed by that at all? Do you think she's got do you want her to go back to supporting free trade agreements? Do you think getting into tariffs is a great idea and shutting down our borders to trade?
I think, you know, honestly, trade is not on the top of my policy concern, but I do think generally that Hillary Clinton is supportive of free trade, and I do think generally it is the best thing for the economy in the long run.
Jose, you got very frustrated. Why?
I know, because it's been played up by the press because, again, he's not an orator, and his idea of recasting NAFTA after so many years of not having been looked at, I think it was part of the program anyway. It was part of the program anyway, and I don't think he's ever said he's against free trade. Quite to the contrary, he said he's for free trade, but he wants trade to look at the individual deals between the countries and make sure that you get it. Part of it, I studied economics. I am all over free trade. I think it adds value to our community. So I'm not against free trade whatsoever, and it has benefited our country greatly.
Tia, Brandon wants to jump in here.
Okay.
Free trade is a feature of the free market, which is a cornerstone of American capitalism. So, I mean, unless Donald Trump is going to be in these rooms with Deet and Lyft making deals, then, I mean, I don't think there will be a huge effect because these trade deals are driven by the market.
Let me get Tia in here, too, and then I know Giancarlo wants to say something.
Well,
please go ahead. How is the TPP being driven by the market? I mean, it's being driven out of D.C.,
I mean, more or less, is like, I don't see how Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton could dictate. I mean, other than making some sort of, you know, business rules that they would have to abide by. But, I mean, the business rules won't be strong. I mean, in order to bring business into the state of Georgia, we have to, I guess, make it more lenient on businesses to come in Georgia in the first place by cutting taxes. Yeah.
Let's Tia?
Well, I just want to, no worries. Here's what I'd like to offer is, I look at what Jose said earlier about neither candidate is perfect, or if we add in the libertarian candidates, they're not perfect candidates. But if you think about them as steaks, you can have 3-4 imperfect steaks. But the reason they're imperfect could be all different. One could be rotten. One could just be not cooked the way you like it. One could be too salty. They're all imperfect. But we talk about all these candidates as though they're equal, and we're talking about apples to apples, and that drives me crazy. And then we get into policy discussions and all this technical economic discussion, which the average voter doesn't really, like Barbara said, you know, that's not necessarily your focus maybe, but I think we get off center. But why would you not want the candidate to run the country and help run the free world, I mean, be a part of that, is what we have to think about. And I think that Donald Trump, to go to the initial question of the segment, he's not calm enough and clear enough to make big worldwide decisions that affect thousands and millions of people. And that's what the issue is. We can talk about the issues all day, and I'm okay with that. Have a different issue. Send it. Build your wall. Do it. I'm great with that. Let's talk about it intelligently, but be calm enough to be able to use those numbers and make the right decision calmly, not because somebody tweeted your name the wrong way.
All right. We have got to get our second break in. I see, Barbara, you want to jump in. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take our final break of the show, give you all a chance to sort of rest for a second, and we'll come back right after the break. You're listening to Political Rewind on GPB Radio.
Is college too late to teach sex ed?
My parents were too uncomfortable to talk about it, so we never talked about it.
In Arkansas, a new law requires colleges to help prevent unplanned pregnancy.
There's this 18 and 19-year-old brain thing that's magical thinking, sort of like, it's not going to happen to me.
That story later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 until 7 on GPB.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. We've just got a few minutes left with our panel of voters today who've been giving us such great comments about the election. I have a couple of rapid-fire questions. We probably won't get everybody in. One, you Hillary Clinton supporters, if it should turn out that the Clinton Foundation and State Department were more involved with, you know, business with each other, if Hillary Clinton was not just granting access for donors, but it had some impact on policy, could that change your mind on whether you'd vote for her, Barbara?
Yes, I'm not so partisan that I would be stuck to a candidate if something like that came out, if it were anybody other than Donald Trump on the other side.
Okay, just, but it's, you know, a, it's so, but could you go to the Libertarian?
Libertarian is just a little too out there for me, I think. I'm not sure, although Bill Weld, to me, moderates that ticket a little bit more. Possibly not skip that ballot part.
Anybody else want to weigh in on that very quickly? Could Hillary Clinton lose your vote if it turns out there's more corruption with the Clinton Foundation?
It has to be Nixonian in scale. And then I would then probably just wouldn't vote.
Okay. Jose, you're the big Trump guy in the room. What do you think about Trump this week deciding that, in fact, he shouldn't send back 11 million undocumented residents and that he should have a more humane policy?
I don't know what to answer. I don't know all the details. They haven't really been announced.
Do you think does it give you a sense that he really knows what he thinks about immigration? Or is he just...
Of course he knows what he thinks about an immigration. He thinks that the law should be abided by. He's, part of me being from another country, the greatest thing about this great country is the rule of law. And without the rule of law of due process, we have nothing.
Tia, could you be persuaded to not vote for Hillary Clinton if there's more corruption?
I'm with Barbara. In this political climate, absolutely not, because nobody else has experience to literally do what it takes to be the president.
Okay, is there anybody in this room who could perhaps think about Donald Trump if, in fact, he starts showing a more humane side? He does reach out to African Americans and Hispanics. He does talk more positively about finding a way to a path for immigrants.
He walks into a black church and gives a sermon.
Yeah, what do you think, Giancarlo?
He's just pandering, so...
Giancarlo, for speaking on that answer. I totally agree.
Okay. Tia. Jim.
All right.
Which one that's running is not pandering? Can you tell me that? When they all are.
When the policies
that's
back
the game
up what
of
they're
politics.
Saying.
Okay, all right. If we can just kind of shift gears here for just for a very few minutes. The other race in Georgia, of course, is we have a U.S. Senate race. We have Republican incumbent Johnny Isaacson looking for a third term. We've got Libertarian Alan Buckley, and we've got the Democrat Jim Barksdale, a first-time politician. If we can just make a very quick round of the room, tell me what you're thinking. Jose, start with you.
Johnny.
You're voting straight down.
I'm voting for Johnny. I've known Johnny. He's done a lot of stuff in education. I've been very involved in education, and I'm
okay.
in favor of
all him. Right. Tia?
I think a new blood on the Democratic side could be nice, and, you know, getting out of the term after term after term of leadership in general. So I'd go with the Democrat.
John?
Well, I'm on Isaacson's leadership team for Spalding, so I'm going to go ahead and say that
Johnny Isaacson is my man.
Right. And I'll also voice the frustration, getting back to Donald Trump momentarily, is that that's one of the reasons why a man who wears a Newsies hat and has never been a politician his entire life was within 4 points of Johnny Isaacson, who's quite possibly one of the best senators this state has seen since, Lord, I don't even know.
Would you put Sam Nunn up there?
Sam Nunn was a fantastic senator. And actually, Sam Nunn, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe Sam Nunn is actually supporting Johnny and has donated to his campaign along with other Democratic leaders.
Frank?
I could vote for Barksdale. I probably will vote for Barksdale. I don't think he has any chance of winning. I think the Democratic Party in this state really needs to hopefully it's getting its act together, because for the last 10 years it's been a debacle.
I could support Barksdale, but it would be a support for Democratic policies, but honestly, I'm undecided on that part of the ballot. I was not pleased with Barksdale's, was it his one and only ad? I thought it was all the catchphrases, and it was just, I thought it was the pandering for sure. So I'm not sure.
For me, Isaacson. He's got a good record, a good individual. So
probably Barksdale. I just think And this is a personal thought that, you know, any vote Republican right now is a vote for Donald Trump, because they pretty much rely on the same voters. So that base is toxic, and the base will be toxic.
So, Jim, that's interesting.
That's interesting. Now, let me ask the follow-up question here is, okay, we've got the next 3 months in the Senate campaign largely will be an attempt to tie Donald Trump to Johnny Isaacson, Johnny Isaacson to Donald Trump. Isaacson has pretty much gone silent on Trump. Does that disturb you? Does that bother you? Are you more or less liable to vote for Isaacson because of that? John?
No, I think that that does not impact my vote anyway, or my support anyway, shape or form of Senator Isaacson. I think Senator Isaacson is focusing on his race and is focusing on what he needs to focus on, which is the people of Georgia, and how he's impacting the people of Georgia, and how he, along with Senator Perdue and the other people in the Georgia delegation, can help this state. And his focus is here. He has a very tight contested race, and he has to make his focus where his focus needs to be, and that's his home state.
Anybody else?
I'd like to just add about Isaacson. I think silence on the things that, if you're a Republican and you do not agree with what Donald Trump is saying, I think there are Republicans that I've paid more attention to because they've stood up and said, I don't agree with that. I think that is wrong, which was surprising to me as someone that doesn't focus on that. So I think Isaacson should really be clear about where he is different from Trump, because he may lose some people because of exactly what Brandon just said. And that's a perspective to consider.
I would have an easier time giving a vote to Isaacson if he came out absolutely against Trump, and that would be representative of the Republican Party that I would like to see come back
absolutely
and take the
Barbara,
next step.
Thank you.
And I think Johnny Isaacson, whom I respect, I think he just wants to make this as traditional a Senate race as conceivably possible in the state of Georgia, and if there weren't a presidential race, he would win easily. The Trump factor may hurt him, but I think he'll get through.
But that's the one thing. I mean, this is not a traditional race. By all means. And what Tia said is basically each candidate needs to distinguish themselves, whether they're going to there and just say it right out loud. Is I'm supporting Trump or I'm not supporting Trump. Just like folks here.
Brandon?
I didn't have
Republican.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah, you're going to vote for Barksdale anyway.
Yeah, more
Isaacson's
more,
not going to win your vote, even if tomorrow he condemned everything about Donald Trump, right?
Well, I mean, it's too late now. I mean, like, the media keeps saying that, oh, if he changes his tune, oh, maybe we can trick the voters to believe that he didn't say all the stuff that he said prior. But, I mean, you know, Donald Trump's always that person. So, I mean, he's about his image. You know,
okay. I have a question that I'd really love to see a show of hands, and since it's radio, I'll just report the results. Because there are people who feel you've all been fairly adamant about who you support, but because this is an election between two of the most untrusted political people ever, how many of you are absolutely sure you're going to go to the polls and vote on November 8th? Okay, every single one of you. No one is going to be turned off because you have two candidates who people just plain don't like at all. Okay.
Whoever's listening to this, please don't do that. Despite whatever presidential candidate you may or may not like, please do not refuse to go to the poll because of who's at the top of the ticket, because in many cases, all politics are local. And that means Senate, congressman, your mayor, your dog catcher, if he's on the ballot. These are people that are going to impact
all right.
your life.
I want to ask one last question. And, Jim, I think it'll be interesting. We're going to have to do this fairly quickly. The media has gotten beaten up in this election. We always do. But this year it's been particularly pronounced. Donald Trump, of course, is at war with the media. And this week, as the Clinton Foundation revelations have been reported out by the Associated Press and other news organizations, the Clinton campaign is now attacking the media very actively. Real quick. Is the media too biased? Is the media fair? Tia, what do you think?
I'm so glad you asked me, Bill, because I was going to ask to speak first on this. I think the media continues to put Hillary and Donald Trump as equals, and they're just not professionally equals. If they were going for a job interview, Hillary would be just not in the, they're not in the same category.
Wouldn't that suggest that we have to make a choice?
But I do think that on some of the mainstream media, they're not asking meaningful questions, and Hillary doesn't have somebody that she can really race against. And we have to deal with all these peripheral issues. So we're not really talking about getting to the meat of what Hillary's points are. We're talking about who's a bigot and who's not a bigot and who's doing something wrong. So I don't think we have an opportunity. The media's not doing the best in asking the deeper questions.
Look, Barbara, we're going to get you in real quick.
As I do politicians, I'd like to give the media the benefit of the doubt as well. I think that the problems that are with the media is because it's market driven, with the exception of GPB and your show. So thank you. But I think a big problem with our media market is that it has gotten so segmented. And so there are places where you can go and cuddle up in your ideological blanket. And what is it, the soundboard?
Right. You have gotten the last word, because you have just completely run us out of time, because you've been so interesting to listen to. But we really are out of time. So I want to thank each of you, Jose Perez, Tia Buckham White, John O'Neill, Frank Goldman, Barbara Robertson, Giancarlo Poggi, and Brandon Stokes, who came all the way from Plains, Georgia, America's Georgia, sorry. Thank you. Jim, fascinating conversation.
This has been great. We're going to have him back.
Thank you all so much for being here.
It's been a pleasure.
Jim Galloway, always love working with you. Thanks for being here. Hope you all have a great weekend out there. We'll see you again next Wednesday at 2:00 for another edition of Political Rewind.